Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hey, and welcome to the Short Stuff. There's Charles. There's Jerome. This is Joshua. This is Short Stuff, the legend.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm pretty excited about this one.
You ever been to Niagara Falls?
I have.
What's it like?
Watery, damp. It's very pretty. It's actually really neat. It's definitely worth seeing.
Which falls did you see?
We went on the American side, but then, you know, when we got to the Canadian side, we stopped and turned around and looked again. But it's really definitely a sight to see for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should point that out for people like me who have never been to Niagara Falls, mm-hmm. that there are a few falls.
Yeah.
If you're American and you don't want to leave the country, you can see the American side.
Right.
If you want to see something that, to my eye on images online, looks better, mm-hmm. the Canadian Horseshoe Falls look pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
They're better, right?
I don't want to say better because I'm an American, but they are much larger. There's a much larger volume of water. It's much more graceful.
Okay. And they're separated by Goat Island. And then there's cute little Bridal Veil Fall, mm-hmm. separated from the American Fall by mm-hmm. Luna Island.
Yeah. So there's technically three falls with Niagara Falls. And what's surprising to me, Chuck, is in researching this, like that setup where you've got the American Falls, Bridal Veil Falls, and then the Horseshoe Falls on the Canadian side, that's only like 500 to 800 years old.
Yeah, that seems old, but I believe that. I don't know why. That sounds reasonable to me.
Okay, well, that's like, I can't keep my socks on every time I hear that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you think of something like a geological feature like a waterfall, it's got to be ancient, right? But the idea that it's only been that way for 500 or 800 years is kind of surprising. Until, of course, then you look into it a little further and you see, oh, well, this waterfall is just eroding the earth beneath it so quick.
Yeah.
That, yeah, it's of course it's not always been this way. It just totally makes sense.
Yeah, and that erosion, you know, the bottom of the falls is pretty intimidating. It's very rocky mm-hmm. and jagged, big boulders. That's why going over a barrel, we did a podcast, I guess if you want to call it that, many, many years ago in our early days.
Yeah.
About going over the falls in a barrel, and it's incredibly dangerous.
Yeah, it is very dangerous. And those rocks, though, haven't always been there. There were two rock falls in the 1930s and the 1950s, specifically under the American Falls. And that left a lot of boulders underneath. And some people said, well, that is just unsightly. And frankly, it's probably not very patriotic to let the Canadians best us with their much more beautiful waterfall now. Mm-hmm. So we got to figure out what to do about this because we can't just let the American Falls go away.
That's right. And who do you call when you need something like this done?
You know that.
You call the Army Corps of Engineers, and they said, well, really the only way to find out what's going on is to dry up this waterfall. And everyone at the table spit out their coffee, yeah. and they said, you're crazy. It's 1969. What are you talking about? And they said, you know, it's really not that hard.
Yeah, it really isn't. So they hired a construction company. And they built a cofferdam, which I believe we talked about in the Hoover Dam episode. It's just like a mound of earth that is holding water back that's not normally there. And they built that at the point, like the fork, where the American Falls began. And they diverted the Niagara River mostly over to the Horseshoe Falls, a little bit to the Bridal Falls. But then that was it. The water stopped flowing over the Niagara, American Fall. And it virtually dried everything up. It was kind of easy if you think about it. I mean, it was a massive, huge project, but it wasn't technically that hard.
Yeah, it was close to 28,000 tons of fill. So that's a lot of dirt and rock.
That's a lot of fills.
But when you think about the fact that Horseshoe Fall accounts for 90% of the dump anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they couldn't dam a Horseshoe Fall. There's no way, right?
I don't believe so. No, I don't think the American Fall could take it.
The other thing I wonder, too, is if when they did this, if you could tell a difference at Horseshoe Fall.
Yes, I read that you could.
Oh, really?
Most decidedly.
They said it looks 10% cooler.
Right. I'm 10% more inspired.
I love it.
Yeah, the rainbows around it were 10% brighter. It was just, you could really tell.
Well, should we take a little break?
Well, sure, man.
All right, let's take a break and find out exactly what they did once they had these dry falls right after this. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So again, Chuck, they dried up Niagara Falls because they wanted to figure out how to keep it from eroding and possibly how to clean it up, like clean up all those boulders that talus at the bottom from those rock falls, because they were worried about it looking ugh, basically.
That's right. But here's the thing, and you should look up pictures of this if you're not driving your car, because it's pretty remarkable.
It really is.
To see this thing dried up like that. I mean, it just looks like a, you know, really flat mountain, basically, mm-hmm. like a cliff, mm-hmm. which is what it is.
Right.
But they couldn't keep it all dry. That face, they had to keep wet because it had never been dried out and exposed to the sun and the wind. And they were rightfully worried about what might happen. So they had to keep spraying that face.
Yeah.
Kind of continually from, what, like June to November?
Yeah, they installed a sprinkler system to do it.
Oh, they didn't have just a bunch of people?
Right, just standing there with hoses. Like, this is the worst summer job of all time.
That's right. But then they had to clean out the riverbed. So they sandblasted out a bunch of stuff, and they got the moss off, and they sprayed all these rocks clean
mm-hmm.
and got all the loose gravel out of there. And they really wanted to see what was going on, you know, geologically. So they injected blue dye they drilled down into the riverbed, injected blue dye, and they were like, let's see what happens. Let's sit back and have a tea and see where this blue comes out.
And then some of the more excited workmen among them would be like, oh, there it is, there it is.
Probably
and
so.
When the blue dye started to emerge, and they'd clap and point and laugh.
That's right.
They also installed something called extensometers, which are pretty interesting. They're little...
Sounds so made up.
It does. It also sounds like something a mad villain would use. But it measures the movement of the rock in the foundation or the bed or the riverbed of the American Falls to basically look out for any movement greater than 1/100th of an inch.
Yeah, that's pretty specific.
Very specific. And they also installed little metal posts called monuments, which they can use in the future and have used in the future to survey the area and see if they've moved at all, if the riverbed has moved at all, in the hopes that they will be able to catch a rock fall from happening or erosion from happening before it happens.
That's right. And they did find a place where they thought it was pretty susceptible in the future to occur, and that was at Prospect Point. This had already been a place where they had a rock fall in 1954, which is the one that kind of kickstarted this whole plan to begin with. So Prospect Point is a problem, quite frankly.
Yes.
Although this was 1954 is the last time it happened. It hasn't happened since.
No, it hasn't. And I think some people might be a little surprised because this is 1969 where they're like, this is probably where it's going to happen next again. And it just still hasn't.
It was the summer of love.
It was. That's so funny. Look, I have it written down here, the summer of love underneath there.
Yeah. Did you get that email?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Apparently, we've been saying summer of love is anything but 1967. And that is officially the summer of love.
I did not know that.
So I always thought it was 68 for some reason.
No, I always thought it was 69.
All right. Well, in show correction.
Yeah.
Short stuff style.
Yes.
So back to the dry bed, you would think, who would want to come see a dried up Niagara Falls?
I would.
And it turns out a lot of people.
Would you not?
Well, I mean, I haven't been to, I would want to, I don't know if that would want that to be my first trip.
right. Or you would definitely want to go back a second time when it's in full swing, for sure.
Or maybe actually that would be the time to go because you could see that and Horseshoe Falls.
Right.
And get the best of both worlds.
Yeah. So some people were thinking like that and thought, like, this is amazing. There was one weekend in mid-July where 90,000 people streamed through there. To see, you know, because this is kind of a once in a lifetime thing to see Niagara Falls dried up, or the American Falls at least. But overall, that tourist season was pretty lame, because a lot of people were like, "Well, I guess it's under construction. I'm not gonna pay for that road trip to go see a lame-o fall."
Yeah, and the original plan was, they're like, "Let's try this thing out and invite people out to walk around and do stuff."
Mm-hmm.
Kind of were like, it's a little too wet still, and it's probably still kind of dangerous. So it was in August, finally, that they deemed it dry enough for people to go out safely. Mm-hmm. I think they never allowed people up on the cliff, did they?
Well, they built a fence on the brink. So I think, I don't know how close to the brink they were allowed to be, but I get the impression that all throughout the summer, whether they were allowed out there or not, people would go run out on the riverbed and just, like, hang out.
Oh, yeah?
And then they would be chased off by the Army Corps. They'd be like, we might not have guns, but we have sextants.
Another thing they did, and I just consider this very bad luck, people would go out and collect wish coins.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that bad luck?
I don't know.
Those are people's wishes. We've seen the Goonies.
Yeah, but the wishes have come and gone. I mean, come on. If they haven't been granted by now, they're not going to be granted. You know, let's give those coins another shot.
I guess so. It just seems, I don't know. It doesn't seem right.
That's like that one part in The Simpsons, the Beer Baron episode, where they're driving through the cemetery and Bart goes, "Dad, it's bad luck to run over gravestones." And Homer goes, "Really? I heard good."
It's good luck. One thing they did find, and it's kind of amazing they didn't find more dead bodies, but they did find two. Mm-hmm. One of them was a pretty recent one that they were actually looking for this guy.
Yeah.
They saw this guy dive into the river about a week before, so they knew he would be in there. But what they didn't know is that they would find a very creepy find, a woman in a red striped dress who had been down there for a long time. It says, lodged head first into the talus.
Isn't that ghoulish?
That's so ghoulish.
Yeah.
And she had a gold ring inscribed with "Forget Me Not."
Yeah. And then the irony of that is that she's never been identified.
Yeah, that seems remarkable to me.
It does. And man, I looked. I was like, I don't know how else to word the search, but I didn't find anything about that woman being identified ever.
Yeah.
So I don't. And I'm also not sure that the guy who jumped the week before they turned the water off was ever identified as well.
Oh, really? They didn't know who it was?
No. But they he was mistaken for a worker by some people who saw him initially jump in, and then they were like, "Oh, wait, that guy, that's not good."
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of people are surprised that they didn't find more bodies, because there's a lot of people who die by suicide or just do something dumb and go right. over the you know, falls in a barrel or whatever. Like, it's a well-known place to do that, and only two bodies is kind of strange.
Yeah, they found one deer carcass, mm-hmm. which that's kind of surprising. I just thought it would be littered with carcasses.
I think that's kind of what they were half expecting, too.
It was probably a good, you know, they were delighted by that, I'm sure.
They were. They you were. yeah. So by November, they're like, okay, we've figured out everything we can figure out. We've kind of shored it up as best we can. From what I read, the waterfall naturally eroded at like 5 feet a year. And now they've got it down to one because of the stuff they did in 1969 and later in 1972. But they said, okay, it's time to turn the water back on. And they did. On get this, November 25th, 1969, which I believe was 50 years and 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that neat?
Happy anniversary.
Happy Water Day.
Reintroduction of water to Fall Day. yeah, and of course they had to do it slowly throughout the course of a day. They couldn't just make some big magnificent scene and say, watch this, everybody. I'm sure they wanted to, but...
hang on to your duffs.
Yeah, and I'm sure they did some math to figure out just kind of how slow they needed to go with it, but it was still probably pretty cool to see.
I'll bet it was, for sure. And so what was kind of heartening to me is they said, okay, we learned a lot, actually, and we can probably keep this thing from eroding, but should we? And this joint task force to kind of preserve Niagara Falls, but a joint commission between Canada and the U.S., said, well, what do the residents around here think? So they sent out little mailers and asked like 200,000 residents in Canada and on the U.S. side, what do you guys think we should do? And the majority of people said, hey, it's a natural formation. Just leave it to nature. Leave it be. So they did.
Yeah.
Thought that was kind of neat.
I like that they asked locally, too.
Right. They asked locally.
And acted locally.
Right, exactly. There you go.
I got nothing else.
They were going to turn it off one more time in 2019.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To fix some bridges. And I believe time has basically run out on that project, so it might happen in 2020.
Well, let's cross our fingers. Maybe we can do a podcast live from the brink.
That's a really great idea, Chuck. Well, I guess that's the end of Short Stuff, Chuck, which means Short Stuff out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.